Hey, this is Erin.
I'm Melissa.
And we're Trending Northwest, a weekly podcast all about the latest in our region, introducing you to people you'll want to know if you don't already.
We're on a personal mission to celebrate kindness, innovation, and diversity, which is at the heart of our culture in the Northwest. Join us as we shine light on topics that are trending for good and have conversations with some of the most fascinating people in our area.
Learn more about guests on the podcast and read about trending topics at trendingnorthwest.com. Episodes are dropping weekly, so be sure to hit the subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts now. Jay Orth, the Spokane local musician, performs under the name August to August. August to August is a one-man band blending live acoustic drums with ambient synths, basses, keys, vocal samples, and more to craft a primarily instrumental, ethereal, lo-fi hip-hop sound. Welcome to Trending Northwest, Jay.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
We are so excited to have you here. I hear that you are a Zag who majored in math. Can you tell us what got you into math and then what got you into music? And is there any kind of correlation?
Yeah, they seem like two pretty different things, huh?
Yeah, they do.
I've been into music. I'll start with music. Middle school is really when I got into it. I had an older brother who played guitar and all of his cool friends played instruments. So that kind of got me and my buddies into it. We just wanted to be cool like them, as middle schoolers do. So I picked up the drums and just really fell in love with it throughout high school and then college, met great people, learned a lot from them and kept going. Math, you know, I don't really know how I ended up with a math major. In particular math, but I was always called to, working in education in some way. And so, the major I ended up choosing was math, but that was just a vehicle to have an opportunity to work in education.
I love that you said, I don't really know how I fell into math. It always seemed the kids who were like good at math were just like good at it. Like yeah. They didn't have any explanation for why.
Yeah.
They were just really good at it. So that's kind of sounds like you picked up music and like you worked on it and everything and you were like good at math. Not to say you didn't work on math, but
right.
You were also good at it.
Yeah. Yeah. It was never scary for me. For a lot of people, it can be really scary. There's a lot of other things in this world that are scary to me. But math was not something that was scary to me. And I actually really enjoyed it because in high school, especially, because I was connecting math to music. I was able to listen to music with lyrics to it when I did math. But if I was ever working on anything else where I had to type or write or read, my brain couldn't function with other words coming in my ears. So maybe there is something there. I never connected the
That's
two.
That's so cool. I also can't listen to lyrics and like also type either,
yeah.
But I'm also not good at math. So I don't know what that says about me. I guess I can't do anything and listen to music. For any Gonzaga alums that are listening right now, what bands did you play in while you were at Gonzaga?
At Gonzaga, I played in a band called the Scenic Roots. And then after that, I played in a band called Boat Race Weekend. And then that band is the one that actually carried me into the music scene beyond college. But still some of our most memorable and fun shows were at Gonzaga.
That's so fun. House parties or at like Zagapalooza or
both.
Nice.
Yep.
House parties were something else. Yeah.
Yep. Great memories from those.
And speaking of house parties, just kidding, the opposite of house parties. What do you do as a profession now? And what do you love most about your job?
Great question. I am a high school teacher right now, and I work at a project-based high school. So while I am endorsed in math, and I spend some of my time doing math, the majority of my day is doing cross-curricular projects. So for example, a project may be English, history, and applied math all together. Rather than students going to separate classes, we do it all in one big overarching project. The best part of the environment I'm in is that I get to be creative with other amazing educators and really get to know the students I work with. It's small class sizes, mostly co-taught, so the ratio is really good. And it's not just me being the math guy and they view me as that. It's we are authentic people who share the same space and are learning together. And so to walk alongside these young people in their journey, and really, I guess, whether they want to or not, they're walking alongside me and mine. Mm-hmm. We're just growing together. And it's pretty real, about as real as it gets. And that's what I appreciate about it.
That is so cool. And like many teachers, I don't know who I'm talking about, you also have a pretty impressive side hustle, which is creating music. Yeah, and yeah. Melissa has a question for you about this.
Yeah. So we introduced you with your name, Jay Orth, mm-hmm. but your name is actually under the musician name is August to August. Could you tell us a little bit why you chose that name and yeah, how that came to be?
Yeah. So as I said before, I was in a band called Boat Race Weekend that started in college. And then for 4 years after that, we just kept getting cool opportunities. And we spent a lot of time in that band traveling, playing tons of shows. I mean, it was intense. And so when that kind of came to its natural end, I was burnt out a little bit. I didn't know what I wanted to do with music. And I was the drummer in that band. So specifically burnt out on bands and trying to have perfect sounding records. And so I didn't want to let music go because I knew how much deep down it meant to me. So I pulled out my old little piano, little $50 keyboard from Hastings. And I'm a goal guy. So I'm like, you know what, if I'm going to stick to this, I have to have a goal. And I want to write a simple song every month for a year. And it was August. And so I'm like, I'm going to do it every month from August to August with no intention of ever performing it, no intention of ever really anyone hearing it. It was just for me. And fast forward 4 years and it's turned into something else, but I kept the name.
Oh my gosh. I love that. Now that makes total sense. Yeah. August to August. Yeah. I'm going to do this for 1 year and see how it goes. Yep. August to August.
Yep. And as I reflect on it too, I guess that's kind of, you know, you attach meaning to things. My life too, as a teacher, to me, year isn't January to January. It's August to August.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Also born in August. So August to August. So just kind of, you know, you look back and try and make meaning of things. So I found different meanings in it. And
that's so cool. Yeah.
I love that. And your music style is so current. It's what's happening right now. This big trend that we're seeing with lo-fi and specifically lo-fi with a hip-hop sound. What made you choose this particular vibe instead of going with something else? And what inspired you to make this kind of music into a full album?
Well, it started with that the piano bit, just trying to learn simple songs. And I was a fan of lo-fi. I listened to it a lot when I was lesson planning or before that when I was studying. And so trying to do the piano piece, learning that, and the drummer side of me came out. So I think naturally the drums had to fit in there. And it just kind of evolved. And I found myself making something similar to the things I loved anyway. And it was just a natural progression of kind of evolving into the sound I have now. During COVID is really when I decided that I want to find a way to perform this live. And I found an artist by the name of Orami. And from the Middle East, and I just found him on Instagram. And I saw a video of him. He was a drummer who was doing some things with some gear I happened to have, and he was making lo-fi music. And I thought to myself, I want to give that a shot. And so I did when I had extra time, and it's just been fun. It's been a unique challenge. Really dove into the production side of things and fell back in love with music. So here we are.
This podcast is brought to you by Canopy Credit Union. Canopy is on a mission to grow a happier and healthier community through financial inclusion. Founded in 1956, the credit union is focused on serving its members across Spokane, Honduras, and Stevens counties, and more. At Canopy, your story matters, and the team is ready to guide you on your path to financial wellness. To learn more, log on to canopycu.com and follow them on Instagram and Facebook. And as a teacher, the job is so challenging. It's very rewarding, but also can really drain your energy. How does this particular project reinvigorate you to go back into the classroom with more energy?
It really does. It. A lot of people nowadays, the buzzword is getting into flow state. And, you know, I can't think of a time where I'm in more of that flow state than when I am not necessarily playing the drums or playing the piano, but when I'm putting the pieces together on my computer and I can disappear. I have to set timers because I'll go up for like an hour before we're going to eat dinner. And then if I don't set a timer, my wife's wondering if I'm still alive, you know, I'll disappear. So it just, yeah, total flow state. I just reset. I'm not overthinking all the conversations, all the should have done this, should have done that. You know, all the the excitement, all the worries you have as a teacher. So it's just totally takes me to a different world, which I think we all need in our own ways to reset and be best versions of ourselves the next day. So
that's a great answer.
Yeah. Yeah. And you did all of this yourself too. So for someone who's not familiar with making music and making it a production and an album and everything, so what did you do from start to finish and what are the challenges there that you faced?
I did do this all myself, and it's something that I picked up through my years of playing and watching the musicians I played with and watching the engineers and producers I worked with. And so what I know is how to play drums. What I hardly know is piano. And then what I really don't know is production. And so it was really just figure it out, and look things up on YouTube, read about things. And 80% of the production piece, I still don't understand. It was just trial and error. There was definitely some frustration with the mixing and mastering, trying to get the final product and get it ready for vinyl and get it ready for streaming services. So I went a little mad at times doing that, a little crazy, but my wife would remind me, hey, take a step back. You need to reset. Stop listening to it. You know, take a couple days away. And so, but it's love. You know, I love doing that. So
was it more like the perfectionism in you that you were like, I want to get this perfect before I release it? And she was just like, it's great. Work on the releasing it part.
Yes. And that's the exact reason I started this August thing, is because I'm such a perfectionist. And whenever we would do, like with the bands, record albums, she would see me go into that mode, and I'd go into this mode of just like obsession, trying to get every single kick drum right, every single hi-hat hit right, everything. And so that was part of this reset, is like, I don't want to worry about anything. And my first album was just setting my phone down and recording. And that's out on streaming services. It's called A Collection of Simple Songs. That one was like opposite of perfection. And here I am. It's like full circle. I'm back to what I used to be. So I've learned to, you know, when to stop myself. And then if I'm not stopping myself, I have good people in my lives who be like, hey, Jay, come back down to earth a little bit.
Yeah.
So. Sounds like a zag.
Yeah.
You know, like, let's be real.
Sounds like how the magazine goes sometimes too. When you really love something, you can throw yourself into it, but people are like, take a step back. Here's an apple, you know?
Yeah.
Please eat something. That's what our husbands always do.
Yeah.
So funny. And you actually, speaking of really amazing artistic communities, got to play Terrain. What was that experience like?
It was so cool. I've gone to Terrain for years now, with friends and family, and just blown away by the artists and the musicians there. And it's such a cool thing to get into, because the way you apply they really jury it. They look at it and they compare it to what they want and what they feel is a good fit. And so it's not necessarily that you get in from a personal connection. And so I think that's the all the more kind of validating. And so the fact that I even got into it with what I do is a little unique and kind of out there. I didn't know, you know, I was pretty surprised that I got into it. And then getting to work with everyone there, Ginger and Jackie and Caitlin and everyone else, just amazing to see what they do for our community and to be a part of all those, you know, all the artistic expression going on. Really cool. And I connected with them and I got to play Terrain Table, one of their fundraisers. Again, just another amazing event. And then played Terrain Bazaar. Yeah, not Bazaar, Bazaar, the one downtown. And so, yeah, I had quite a year of getting opportunities with Terrain, and definitely probably the highlights of this project so far. The main event, Terrain 14 in the fall, was like peak for me. It's pretty cool.
This is one of the pieces of art that we got from Terrain right here on the wall. And got this really cool little care package today from Terrain that included like a poster with the calendar on it and stickers all kinds of stuff. So it was kismet that you happened to be here today.
Yeah. What don't they do?
Right?
Right?
They are such an incredible team, and we're probably their biggest fans. Yeah. It gets weird. We show up early. Like, we want to get to see all the art before anybody else does.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
I feel like you'd be good at blurs are too, though, because like your music is like, you know, if you're going to be inside, you don't want it to be like off the walls kind of thing.
Right. Maybe I'll get some holiday songs in there.
Yeah. Genius. Yes.
So cool.
Holiday lo-fi. That is a thing.
I would listen to that for sure. For sure. Yeah. I already listen to lo-fi. So why not holiday lo-fi?
Yeah.
Speaking of different songs that you have on your album coming out, it came out actually on February 9th, right?
It did.
Yeah.
It did.
So when you're listening to this, it's already out. We're going to have Vinny play a little bit of your music, the song Altima, which is mine and Aaron's favorite. Make Altamont?
It was the second song where I used a saxophone in it. And no, I'm not playing the saxophone. It's just a setting for my keyboard, essentially. But the guitar part was inspired by an artist named Julian Baker. I love her guitar tones and the way she plays. And so again, that was a setting. Everything I do is on a keyboard. And then I was able to sneak some saxophone in. It felt like it felt well. Felt good, excuse me. And then there's some, it's kind of like background vocals that set a rhythm, and that kind of added a hip hop element to it in my mind. And then the drums just came naturally. But yeah, it just kind of evolved from wanting to start something that sounded like Julian Baker, and then adding all my other influences that I probably can't even name. They're just kind of there, and evolved into what it is.
Are you feeling hungry or need a little extra caffeine? The Maple Street Bistro has been serving delicious espresso drinks and house-made baked goods in North Spokane since 2007. We absolutely love Betty and hope that you'll tell her hello when you get to visit. Each day, their bakers prepare fresh, old-fashioned bagels, cinnamon rolls, scones, muffins, pecan sweet rolls, cookies, and so much more. And they also have delicious coffee. You can also try one of their breakfast sandwiches or lunch paninis, served in your choice of a variety of bagels or house-made focaccia bread. We absolutely love Maple Street Bistro and hope you'll swing by soon.
Well, I absolutely love learning more about your process. And my husband is a professional musician. He plays bass. So we go all over the place to shows in the area.
Cool.
And the next one we're headed to is the Dirty Loops and Twerp in Seattle. What are some of your favorite bands either in this area or that have performed here locally?
There are so many, so I'll try and, you know, shrink it down. when we were really active in Boat Race Weekend playing around here, we played quite a bit with a band called The Ongoing Concept, which is more of, it's a heavier band, really cool, based out of Northern Idaho, based out of Rathdrum, actually. And he recorded a couple of our records, Dawson, from that band. And we also played a lot with a band called Listener from Kansas City, but they would tour through here quite a bit. And some of my songs in this August to August project are inspired by Listener. Very unique band, but they include trumpet within their music in a unique way, and I've loved it. Locally right now, I see TS the Solution on the wall there.
Yay!
He actually came and worked with my class a couple months ago, talking about business and music, and
that's awesome. What a class act, that guy.
He's great.
Pretty great guy. So of course him. Rose Throw's amazing. Kadabra is a band, kind of a garage rock, psych rock band. Man, I could go on and on about all the amazing local acts, but beyond that, most inspired by bigger bands growing up, like Blink 182, Travis Barker as a drummer, and me as a teenager seeing that guy, of course. Heavier bands like Under Oath, more post-rock bands like Explosions in the Sky. And then I loved, I mean, everything. Ben Howard, more of a singer-songwriter. So it's all over the place. Kid Cudi, rapper, it's all over.
I love that. Yeah. You have such an eclectic sound to your music, too. So that makes perfect sense that it's symbiotic in that way.
It seems like a lot of musicians are like that, too. Like, your husband's a musician. So Erin actually wrote the script for this because she knows a lot more about music than I do. Yeah. But my husband plays piano and guitar. And, like, he's always introducing me to new music. Well, I mean, I don't pay attention to him when he talks about it. He's like, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, it just sounds good. I don't know. But he listens to a ton of different music, like genres. And I'm like, I didn't think someone that likes rock also listens to all of this, too. Yeah. But I guess you kind of have to, especially if you're a musician that's creating music.
Yeah, I naturally am a fan of all different things. And growing up and getting older, you go through phases too, right? Like, we all had our emo phase and then our singer-songwriter phase and then our, as one of my friends call it, our stomp, stomp, clap phase, like the Lumineers. And,
That's great.
That's a good name for it. Yeah.
And I've been in bands that played that, like the, all sorts of different types of bands. So I don't know. I don't know that I seek it out. It's just probably comes through in what I make because I grab elements from everything I like. So,
yeah, we loved our emo phase, didn't we, Melissa? Didn't you listen to a ton of Fiona Apple?
No, actually, no, I did not. Erin's obsessed with Fiona Apple. I'm like, that was just a couple years older than me.
She was kind of terrifying, too. You know, at the award shows, you just never knew what she was going to say. It was magic. Anyway,
so if people want to listen to Slow Down and learn more about your music, can you tell us where they can follow you on social to find out when you'll be, you know, having like events around the next time you're at Terrain, and then also where they can listen to it?
Yeah, it's available on all streaming platforms. So Spotify, Apple Music, wherever else people get their music, Bandcamp, SoundCloud. I only have one social media for August, and I do Instagram, and it's at August_2TO_August. And then the vinyl, if you're into that, this is the first time I've ever had vinyl press, which is exciting for me. It's available on my Bandcamp, augusttoaugust.bandcamp.com. All these links are on my Instagram. The vinyl currently is also available in a few record shops here in Spokane: Entropy, 4000 Holes, Resurrection, and Finboy. So,
and if you haven't been to any of those stores, I insist that you go immediately after listening to this podcast. They are all such a cool experience, just beyond being able to flip through the vinyl. They have amazing products in the store and vintage items. You won't want to miss that.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Jay, for coming on August to August. We will also have in the show notes where to find you, listen to your music, find out more about you on Instagram. And thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. It's really cool what you guys do, so I'm happy to be a part of it.
Don't forget to put inspiration and entertainment on your calendar. Get season tickets now to STCU's Best of Broadway. You can have first access to popular touring productions with live music and top talent, special offers from nearby restaurants, and so much more. West Coast Entertainment is a locally operated independent presenter of national touring Broadway productions, concerts, and other special events. Don't miss a single show-stopping moment. Learn more about their upcoming season by checking out BroadwaySpokane.com.